Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Now call in for African-American parents, as I said before the break. Our lines are open for the next few minutes, only if you're an African-American parent, especially of a current school-age child. What would it mean for you for education to be a civil right? In 1954, Brown versus Board of Education, it meant ending official segregation. What does it mean today? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. You know, the New York State Constitution says every child in the state is entitled to a sound basic education. That big lawsuit a few years ago called Campaign for Fiscal Equity won a lot more money for urban schools in the state on those grounds. A sound basic education was a right, according to the state constitution, and it was being denied mostly to urban kids by inadequate funding. So is it education as a civil right about money? In part, yes, but what else? 212-433-WNYC. We also have a comments page for this on our education website, schoolbook.org. This is the education project that the New York Times and WNYC are doing together. And right on their homepage, you will see a comments page for this question. What does it mean in 2012 for education to be a right? Go to schoolbook.org. We'll also be discussing this live at the Brooklyn Museum Wednesday afternoon in a now sold-out event that I'm hosting along with Jamie Floyd for Martin Luther King Day. We will play excerpts from that show, from that event here on this show on Monday morning, Martin Luther King Day. But let's get the conversation started on schoolbook.org and right here on the air. What does it mean in 2012 for education to be a civil right? Mayor Bloomberg addressed the topic in his State of the City.
9 years ago this month, on Martin Luther King's Day's birthday, Martin Luther King's birthday, I gave a speech outlining our plans to transform a badly broken school system. Back then, the graduation rate had been stuck at 50% or less for decades. Violent crime, social promotion, hiring based on political connections, they all plagued our schools. Parents had few two choices about where to send their children to school, and they had even less information about how a school was performing. And the worst part was, many people had stopped believing that anything in our schools could ever get better. Well, I know you didn't believe that, and we don't believe that either.
So Mayor Bloomberg portrays himself as working to further King's legacy in this respect. How about for you? What would it mean if you're an African-American parent, knowing the history, for education to be a civil right in 2012? Phyllis in Chatham, thank you so much for calling in. You're on WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. I love the show. I'm calling because I do think it's a civil right. I moved to Chatham because I know this is one of the best school districts in New Jersey, but I wasn't raised in Chatham. I was raised in Newark, and I could not conceivably send my children to the Newark City school system. And partly because, you know, I know part of the problem is funding, and property taxes fund education, and places like Newark, Irvington, and other struggling communities just don't get the kind of funding they need to adequately support schools. And New Jersey tried to address that with the Abbott districts. And you talk to any, you know, any resident of an affluent community surrounding a poor community, and they'll tell you that the Abbott districts don't work. It just deflects funding from their communities and their schools into failing schools. I think the solution to this, and a lot of people are going to disagree with this, is really looking at how we compensate teachers, looking at the quality and the value that we put in the teachers in the school systems, especially in places like Newark, especially in places like the Bronx and parts of Brooklyn and Queens that are underserved. I think if we put the same kind of quality assurance and to Bloomberg's point, the measures to actually rate and determine performance measures for those teachers, then you're going to see that the poor children and black children are going to have the same opportunities that children in affluent communities have.
So you like the merit pay idea from the mayor?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In my community, let me tell you, the parents are on top of these teachers, and they're on top of the principals to get out teachers that they don't feel are performing and aren't serving their children. And there's a zero tolerance for failing teachers in my school district. And that's because the principals are empowered to move them out if they need to. And there's nowhere to go because it's a small school system, so they can just boot them right out of the system.
Thank you so much, Phyllis, for starting us off.
Thank you.
And Paul in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Brian. Real quickly, education is a civil right today, in my view. You mentioned the sound and basic education, and I think that the idea of a basic education being a civil right is not enough. We are not living in an era where a basic education is enough, especially when we are seeing an economy that is driven by jobs that require more than a basic education. We need access to a quality education where there is real opportunities for young people to acquire knowledge that will give them the opportunity to become real contributors to our society. We can no longer afford, as if we could ever afford, to wait. Intellectual horsepower of generation after generation after generation of quote-unquote minorities. I speak to you as not only as a person who is black, but also is Latino, and our people have been disenfranchised through the education system that has ill-served our children.
So how, in your opinion, for example, the movie Waiting for Superman, largely seen as an anti-teachers union movie, but more complicated than that, framed education as a civil right. It focused on mostly low-income African-American kids in various cities, and it portrayed it as the choice of a high-performing public school or charter school for every child who wants one. Kids in that movie were crushed when their applications to a good charter school were not selected in a lottery, and they were consigned to their bad neighborhood school. So is choice a key component of education as a civil right for you, or what would it look like?
Oh, man. Don't get me started to a certain extent, but I will say this briefly. I am not a big fan of the charter school movement. I am not a big fan of gifted and talented programs because I believe that every child is gifted and talented if they are well taught. I do believe that there is some merit, quote-unquote, to merit pay, but the confrontational relationship between the teachers union and the mayor, I believe, not that I see any real change coming in that, but to work out that system is going to be tremendously challenging. I'm much more interested in seeing our society change its view. Mm-hmm. There's much talk about what goes on in Finland as it deals with its education. And they made a commitment there, beginning roughly speaking in 1980, to change the attitude towards public education, where public educators were embraced. And now you have very high standards and high pay for public educators.
And
now,
Paul,
to convince, I'm sorry, just briefly, and I'll wrap it up, mm-hmm. To convince our society to make that kind of change is going to require people buying into the notion that they have to help their fellow man to be able to make a difference.
Thank you very much. And Alice in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Alice, thanks a lot for calling in.
Hi. I do agree to a great extent that how we fund our education system really would make a difference in terms of having an equal education system for all kids. I am dead set against charter schools. I was raised in Manhattan and have taught in Manhattan, but I am in northern Westchester, and I couldn't imagine putting my kids in schools in Manhattan. I do not appreciate almost anything Bloomberg has done with the education system there. But you did mention the Waiting for Superman, and the most important thing about that movie, as anti-union as it was, the school systems that they really liked in Finland and other places have very strong unions. And I do agree with the previous caller that you do have to change our idea about what constitutes a very good educator and the teachers that we have to keep. But we also have to be careful about the merit pay that the mayor is talking about is so high. I mean, when you look at the newspapers about that talk about education and you read the letters to the editor, one of the first things people will talk about is how overpaid our teachers are in Westchester. And I can only imagine just that by choosing your very, very good teachers that you will ultimately price them out of the school system and people will have an incentive to get rid of them. But one last thing is that I have a son in college who just started, and our public college system is also very expensive. I realize that New York State has, quote-unquote, one of the best education for the money and that we're cheaper than so many other places, but that still leaves you with $80,000 for a bachelor's if you use any of our wonderful SUNY system, and it's only going up by $300 for the next several years. So also looking at how we pay for our college system as opposed to how they do it in other countries. Again, money is just the underlying value for how we can really improve our education system. And I just don't see anybody changing anything about that.
Alice, thank you very much. We're asking African-American parents, or maybe I should reframe it as parents of African-American children, what it would mean for education to be a civil right in 2012 if it meant desegregating schools under Brown versus Board of Education in 1954. What does it mean in 2012? And I reframe it because we're taking Alexis in Harlem's call. Hi, Alexis. Thank you for calling in.
Hi. Thank you very much. Wonderful show. I'm the white parent of an African-American child. He is a fourth-generation public school student in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting a great education, but I worry about lifting all boats. That's a very old phrase, but I return to it because that's really where it's at. I have many children now going to public school from the shelter system. We need an integrated education system that really responds to the needs of the multiple needs of all of our kids, and this is includes the needs for kids to have great after-school programs. Parents work very hard. Many parents work two jobs. I'm a writer, and my son comes home from school to find me still hard at it in front of the computer. We need great programs to produce great children. And in closing, I'll say that education often becomes a proxy argument for economic justice for parents. If parents don't have living wage work, if parents don't have affordable housing, we will never be able to fully support our kids.
Thank you very much. And Philip and Elizabeth, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Philip.
Yeah, Brian, this is my first time calling. I always listen to your show. Great show.
Thank you.
I think basically, Brian, the thing is as many of your callers mentioned before, is proper funding to our school system. What you find is our kids are marginalized if they're not properly educated. They cannot contribute to society. They cannot have a decent job, a decent income. And so if we fund our school, I cannot agree with Bloomberg, because he has taken it as a mandate to change the school system. And I agree with him in regards to the incentive to keep the best teachers in the school system. I know too many times we it's a fight between Bloomberg and the teachers' union. But I think that if we have better teachers in the school system who are really concerned about educating our kids, educating our children, then our kids will be better prepared to enter the college system and then to be better prepared in contributing to the society.
What do you think about this comment on our webpage? Somebody wrote on our schoolbook.org comments page for this, education should be a civil right in our democracy, but a public education is a two-way street. It should be considered a civic responsibility of the student to make the most of the school classes, since his or her education directly or indirectly affects others. So what do you think about that balance between education as a civil right and a civic responsibility for the student or the family?
I think we all have a responsibility, a civic responsibility one to the other, because then again, like I said, if you find a kid who is well-educated in a school system and he understands his role as we are our brother's keeper and our brother's neighbor, that when that person is properly educated, then and they could contribute to their family, then they could contribute to society. They could make a difference. So yes, I would agree with that statement.
Thank you very much for your call. And Lex in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Lex.
Hi. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. So, what do you think about education as a civil right in 2012? What would it look like?
Well, particularly my experience, having been gone through both private school and also public school, I graduated from Frederick Douglass Academy as part of the first class. I've seen what first class education looks like, and I'm here to tell the world: you don't necessarily need to have funding out the wazoo and a billion dollar endowment to have kids learning and have an effect that's impactful on their lives. Dr. Lorraine Monroe was actually the founder of my school, and she established something that was at a school called, before it was IS-10. They were literally setting fires to billboards in the hall. And after that, she came in, she instituted the 12 non-negotiables, and there was uniform, there was order, there was structure in the heart of Harlem, right at 148 and Lenox. Within the next 7 years, she took a class from seventh grade all through high school. She had people getting into Ivy League universities. I was fortunate enough to be one of them. And 15 years later, you can still go and see the effect of what is happening there. And not for nothing, I have an older brother. He was also in one of these feeder programs that are pretty well known. It's called Prep for Prep. And I wasn't a part of Prep for Prep directly, but I ended up being able to become a student, as well as my little brother, at the school which my older brother got into. Essentially, it changed the entire trajectory of all of our lives. So what matters most is people who care at the school, teachers who are dedicated, and you absolutely need to be compensating them. Teachers are the people who matter most in any society, because it lets you know what that society values most, how those teachers are compensated, the level of status that they even have within society,
right,
whether they be kindergarten teachers all the way up to advanced degree professors.
And I'm just curious, do you think that in addition to compensating teachers well in general, that compensating highly effective teachers, as the mayor's proposal would have it, an extra $20,000 a year once they're rated highly effective for 2 years, would also improve the quality of teaching in the schools, or would that just divide teachers against each other?
I would put it like this. In the corporate world, people are compensated virtually immediately, and that's by quarter. And then there are the bonuses that we hear all of these people having at the end of just a year. My question is, why wait? Money is the issue only when people who have access to it don't want to put it towards something that they don't see the immediate profit in. Teachers have reach that it's really incalculable, because you don't know how the mind of a child or the mind of any student will be molded and what types of new value will be created when that information is processed and then put into action in various applications. Of course we should be compensating teachers better than we are. It's really shameful. And now my little brother is actually a teacher, and he's taught both in Harlem as well as in the private school, the independent school sector. Mm-hmm. And I'm extremely proud of him because he's taken, you know, his journey and been able to apply it. He graduated from a public college. My older brother and I, we graduated from, you know, other schools, from school that's here in the city. But my point is, what matters most is people who are dedicated, like the caller who was before calling about writing, people who are there having real intent and focus on building and developing the minds of the students that are there for the purpose, not just so you can say, okay, you learned and go get a great grade on your SATs, but really for the purpose of contributing, of having actual, like, a tangible result.
Lex, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your call. Thanks to all of you who called in on this segment. Again, we'll be doing our community event at the Brooklyn Museum on Sunday, sold out, for Martin Luther King Day, and it's going to be on this theme with Kemi Anderson, the superintendent of the Newark Schools, one of the original plaintiffs from Brown versus Board from way back when, and others, the journalist Touré, and we will play excerpts from that for a full hour of our show here on Monday morning, Martin Luther King Day, when we will be here live. And in the meantime, continue this conversation. Join the conversation on schoolbook.org. We've posted the same question there, and people have started to post. What would it take to ensure education as a civil right shared by all Americans in 2012? Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're going to finish the show and finish the week in just a minute with something very different. Did you hear about the New York Philharmonic conductor stopping a symphony in progress Tuesday night? Very rare. Because someone's cell phone wouldn't stop going off? Well, we have a WNYC host who happened to be in the audience. She'll tell the story, and then we'll take your calls about stories of performances interrupted, where you were in the audience, maybe you were a player. Stories of performances interrupted for any reason. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we'll hear Naomi Lewin's account of what happened at Avery Fisher Hall on Tuesday night.